This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9.
Freshly dug Joycast.
Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod, and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
And this is Doug Pollard bringing it to you. Now, there's going to be something of a change in the next couple of by-elections that are coming up. We're not going to have Liberal going head-to-head, if I may use that phrase, under the circumstances, with Labour, and it's not going to be a straightforward battle between the Liberals and the Greens either, because there's a new party on the block and they're contesting both Bradfield and Higgins, Costello's old seat and Nelson's old seat. It's the Australian Sex Party, and the leader of that party, Fiona Patten, joins us on the line now. Good morning, Fiona.
Good morning, Doug.
How are you this bright and lovely morning?
I'm actually extremely well. I'm getting ready. They're drawing the, I suppose, drawing the sort of gate list tomorrow for Higgins. I'm not quite sure of the terminology for it, but yeah. we'll know which gate we've got tomorrow, and I'm busy baking cupcakes for the other candidates.
So you're hoping you'll come out on top?
Yes. It's really hard not to use those lines, isn't it?
It's very difficult. Well, you call yourself Sex Party, you know.
It's kind
of really hard work to stay away from those. Yeah. But you do make some serious points in your campaign, and definitely some points of difference from the Greens, because Clive Hamilton in Higgins has said he supports this internet filter.
I know.
And you don't.
No, absolutely not. And I think it worries me that the Greens have generally been pretty socially progressive, and to take on a candidate that is so conservative in this position, and it's almost sort of totalitarian in his approach, that to support a mandatory government filter so that the government would decide what Australians could or couldn't view online. And, well, I think some people would think, oh, well, who cares? It's a really major issue, and it's a real departure from our general belief in freedom of speech.
Yeah, because for those listeners who don't know, who've been living under a rock lately, this this would actually put a kind of blacklist up and stop us from seeing certain sites. And naturally enough, a lot of those would probably have to do with sex, because the excuse for this is to prevent child pornography.
That's right. And I mean, if you look at the list, the proposal that they have, it would pretty much exclude, and we're actually assisting in a study being done at the moment, but it would actually exclude absolutely every adult site from the US and from Europe.
And of course it would just encourage people to find ways to get round it.
Oh, well, of course it would. And when it's, I mean, when the other motivation that they say is to protect children, really this is not, you know, there are so many better ways to protect children, and I think certainly I would like to protect children's rights to free speech and oppose this filter, and I think that would be a far better way to go.
Right. Now, there's other areas in which you've got some interesting policies. You say, your party says, that we are over-censored in Australia.
Well, we certainly are. For example, in Victoria, it is illegal to sell an X-rated film from an adult shop to an adult.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't stop some of them, but never mind.
No, it doesn't stop most of them, but a lot of them face jail terms for selling an adult film to an adult.
Right.
And I think that, I mean, that's just preposterous in the 21st century. We've recently seen a company in Victoria who was making some adult material. They are facing 2 years jail. And these are the performers who, you know, were filming themselves. So, yeah, I do believe that we are very over-censored.
That was one thing that surprised me when I moved to Australia. Mm. In fact, it is a fairly prudish country in many respects.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. I sort of find Australians are not prudish.
No, but the law is.
Yeah, that's it. But our politicians are. And, you know, I think that leads onto our concern that they are getting more and more prudish because they are trying to win the votes of those kind of Hillsongs or the evangelical churches, and they see those as a good, solid vote for them, and they're ignoring the rest of us.
Yeah, well, it's a good dog whistle, isn't it? You know, I mean, nobody's in favour of child pornography. Everybody's in favour of protecting children. Yeah. You know, all those sort of things. But it's when you look at the details of how they propose to do it. And as you say, the existing law on censorship simply doesn't work anyway. People try and get round it all the time and often succeed.
Exactly. And I think, you know, we actually have existing laws. Child pornography is illegal. We're not sort of introducing some filter that will now make child pornography illegal or will now stop child pornography. I mean, we really need, it already is illegal, and we need to look at ways of stopping its production and bringing the people who are producing it before the courts.
Yeah. Now we're talking about children and protecting children, but there is another side to this, which is the question of sex education, which is extremely patchy.
Yes, exactly, Doug. I think some schools do it very well, and I think some schools don't do it at all. But generally speaking, I mean, we're still very much in kind of a biology form of sex education, so, you know.
Which bit fits where?
That's right. So we don't speak about relationships, we don't speak about sexuality.
And we don't speak about respecting one another.
And we don't speak about respecting one another, exactly. And negotiating.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so either whether it's negotiating sex in total or negotiating safe sex. I mean, these are tools and these are things that we should be teaching our children now. And I know it's difficult and I know we'll probably be addressing some things that parents rather children didn't know about, but, you know, in this day and age it's so important.
Well, remembering my own sex education, I knew all about it before anybody tried to educate me.
Yes, well, I think I learned to spell fallopian tube. And when you think, you know, when we are talking about the internet, we need to teach our children about it, not try and say, you know, we're just going to block it from you.
Would you say that, you know, there's a lot of stuff in the press recently, for example, about the boys at Montmorency Football Club going on an unsanctioned little holiday and abusing a couple of girls that they picked up there. Would you say that that sort of thing, and that culture runs through a lot of grown-up sports clubs as well, is partly a result of the fact that we don't, in fact, address sex education?
I couldn't agree with you more, Doug. I firmly believe that if we had far better sex education that started when we went to school and, well, hopefully never finishes in your life, but goes through the whole level and talks about negotiation, talks about relationships, you would not hear and see men and boys behaving so badly and not respecting, you know, women or other men. And I think we would see a decline in sexual violence.
Yep, and it'd take all the sort of the smut and giggle factor out of it and be much more upfront.
Well, that's right. I mean, that's the problem today. We find politicians have a great deal of difficulty in saying the word sex without giggling. having worked as a lobbyist for the adult industry for 20 years, and particularly at that federal level, so I've sort of been representing business and people in Canberra for that long, and you go in there and you want to talk about sex education, or you want to talk about censorship, and you have to use the word sex.
Yes, and of course you, because of your profession and because of your background and everything else, you get stereotyped, and I suspect to some extent their brains switch off a bit.
Well, I mean, the number of times that people have said, politicians have said to me, but you seem so nice. You know, somehow I haven't turned into some, you know, wizened maniac from watching adult material.
Well, you're standing in Higgins. Now, you've got quite a spectacular candidate standing up in Bradfield. Zara Stardust.
Miss Zara Stardust. She's certainly going to put some colour in that campaign
Could almost be a drag name there.
Well, she's a drag queen. She's a drag king.
Yes.
I can't remember her drag king name.
Uh-huh.
But I think she's possibly the first out drag king to ever run for Parliament in Australia. She may be the first burlesque dancer as well, actually. But she's also a human rights lawyer. And she's just, she's passionate. And
it's a wonderful CV. Human rights advocate, lawyer, drag king, burlesque performer, gender studies expert, trapeze artist, and finalist for Miss Pole 2008. I mean, try applying that to someone like Kim Beazley.
Well, exactly. Or every other candidate in Bradfield. They all, I'm afraid, look very dull compared to her. And of course, you know, it's you know, brains and beauty. She's
a winning combination.
A very winning combination. In fact, she's actually in the national pole dancing championship in Melbourne this week.
And this week?
Yes, yes. So I hope to be celebrating her national title with her on Friday.
Okay. Now, when are these by-elections taking place?
They're on the 5th of December, both of them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, hopefully people will get out there and vote for the Australian Sex Party. And while I probably am being realistic that we may not see ourselves running the country next year, or possibly even in my lifetime, but I do think that there's a need for a voice such as ours mm-hmm. in Parliament. And also I think even if we can't win Higgins, by voting for us it sends a message that those issues are important to our community. And it gets those issues out there being spoken about, and hopefully we see change just through that kind of campaigning.
Well, I hope so too. Fiona, thank you very much for your time this morning, and the best of luck.
Thanks very much, Doug.
In Higgins. We'll see if we can get some of the gay crowd come out and cheer for you.
Well, that would be super. Sequins are very welcome.
All right, thanks, Fiona. Well, that was Fiona Patten, the leader of the Australian Sex Party and candidate for the seat of Higgins. We have also invited Dr. Clive Hamilton and the Liberal candidate, whose name escapes me for the moment, to come on the show as well before the by-election actually takes place. So far, haven't heard anything from them, but we've got our fingers crossed.
Joy 94.9. Freshly dug Joycast.
Sponsored by MyMac.
The best Apple computer, iPod, and Apple accessory store in Australia.
MyMac.com.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.